Welcome to our deep dive into The Great Gatsby.
Ooh, exciting.
You've provided us with a bunch of study guides, the audio book,
yes,
even a YouTube reading.
Awesome.
It seems like you're really ready to like dig into this book with us. So
yeah, let's get started.
Let's go.
I'm excited to delve into all the nuances of this novel.
Yeah.
It's a story that like continues to captivate readers almost a century later.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your sources are going to offer some really unique perspectives.
Yeah, and I think one thing I really wanted to touch on first was, you know, we're going to be exploring, you know, these legendary parties.
Right.
You know, decode the symbolism of the green light.
Yeah.
We're going to uncover some of the secrets beneath the glamour of the Roaring Twenties.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing since you've included some study guides in here,
right,
you're also interested in, like,
yeah,
how The Great Gatsby functions as social commentary, too.
Absolutely.
Right.
The novel offers a glimpse into, I think, the complexities of the American dream during a time of really great social and economic upheaval.
Yeah.
It's not just a love story. Mm-hmm. It's a commentary on class,
right,
ambition,
okay,
and the pursuit of an idealized past.
So speaking of class, right?
Yeah.
Your sources make it clear that setting plays a crucial role in this story.
Absolutely.
So let's start in West Egg.
Okay.
The land of new money.
Right, as your glossary describes it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And we meet Gatsby, right? Huh. This enigmatic millionaire throwing these lavish parties. But it feels almost desperate, wouldn't you say?
It's so fascinating how Fitzgerald contrasts West Egg with East Egg.
Okay.
Which is the realm of old money and the established social elite.
Yeah.
I think West Egg strives for acceptance, for validation, while East Egg represents this sense of entitlement and almost a bit of jadedness.
It's like, you know, thinking about West Egg and East Egg, right?
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of how people sometimes try to like buy their way into certain social circles.
Right.
Like they believe that accumulating wealth will automatically grant them access and acceptance.
That's a great observation.
Yeah.
And it connects directly back to the idea of the American dream,
mm-hmm.
which we'll explore more deeply later on.
Okay.
But for now, I think it's important to remember that our narrator, Nick Carraway, is positioned between these two worlds.
Exactly. And he's from the Midwest, right?
Yes.
Which gives him this very unique perspective.
Absolutely.
He's not totally swept up in the glitz and glamour.
Right.
Which allows us to kind of see both the allure and the ugliness of this world. It's like he's our moral compass, you know?
Yeah.
Constantly grappling with the complexities of right and wrong.
I love that.
It's
moral compass.
This is what literary scholars often call moral ambiguity.
Yes.
Where characters aren't simply good or bad.
Right.
They're complex individuals facing difficult choices.
Exactly. Nick's outsider status allows him to observe the characters and their actions with a degree of objectivity, even as he's drawn into their world.
Mm.
He's both participant and observer.
Right.
Which makes his narration so compelling.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the man who like embodies this world.
Okay.
Jay Gatsby.
Yes.
Your quiz questions point to all these rumors surrounding him.
Right.
Gootlegger, murderer, even royalty.
Ooh.
It's really intriguing.
Yeah.
How Fitzgerald introduces Gatsby through hearsay and speculation. Right. So we form our own impressions before we even meet him.
Right. And then there's Nick's description of Gatsby.
Yes.
You know, he's captivated by Gatsby's charisma, his heightened sensitivity to the promises of life, as you highlighted in the quiz.
Yeah.
But there's also a sense of longing there.
Yeah.
A yearning for something just out of reach.
That yearning is palpable in the audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost hear it in Gatsby's voice.
Yeah.
Right. Like this underlying sadness.
Yeah.
Even if it's the extravagance.
I agree.
Which, speaking of extravagance, we have to talk about those legendary parties.
Oh, yes.
What do you make of them?
Those parties are fascinating because I think they operate on multiple levels.
Yeah.
On the surface, they're all about excess and indulgence,
right,
a reflection of the Roaring Twenties.
Right.
But I think Fitzgerald uses them to symbolize something deeper.
Okay, what would that be?
Gatsby's loneliness.
Oh.
And his desperate desire to recapture the past.
So it's not just about showing off his wealth. It's almost like he's trying to create a scene.
Right.
An atmosphere.
Yeah.
Hoping to attract a very specific person.
You're picking up on something crucial here.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember the green light?
Yes.
At the end of Daisy Buchanan's dock.
Yes.
That seemingly simple object becomes a really powerful symbol.
Go ahead.
For Gatsby, it represents his yearning for Daisy, his unattainable dream of rekindling a lost love.
Right, the green light, Daisy. Yeah. It's all connected.
It is.
And speaking of Daisy,
yes.
Your notes mentioned how Fitzgerald uses her voice in the audiobook.
Absolutely.
To captivate not only Gatsby, but the reader as well.
The audiobook describes Daisy's voice as captivating and unforgettable.
Mm-hmm.
It has this singing compulsion, a whispered listen, as your notes highlight.
Yeah.
This allure, I think, adds another layer to Gatsby's obsession.
It makes you wonder why Gatsby is so fixated on Daisy.
Yeah.
We know from the quiz that he wasn't always Jay Gatsby the millionaire.
Right.
He started as James Gats, a young man of humble beginnings.
Okay.
This makes his transformation even more fascinating, right?
Exactly. Gatsby reinvented himself.
Yeah.
Crafting this elaborate persona seemingly to win back Daisy.
Yeah.
It raises questions about identity, ambition, and the lengths we go to achieve our desires.
It's like he believed that by becoming Jay Gatsby, he could erase his past and rewrite his future with Daisy.
Exactly.
But before we dive into the complexities of their relationship, let's talk about the other man in Daisy's life.
Okay.
Tom Buchanan.
Ah, yes.
Tom Buchanan, Daisy's husband.
Yeah.
Embodies the old money world of East Egg.
He does.
He exudes wealth.
Yes.
Arrogance. And according to the audiobook, he's openly having an affair with Myrtle Wilson.
Yes, he is.
It's interesting how Fitzgerald uses Tom to represent the darker side of wealth and privilege.
Right.
He seems bored, restless.
Yeah.
Almost as if his life lacks genuine purpose.
Yes.
He seeks fulfillment through affairs and displays of power.
Yeah.
Like when he breaks Myrtle's nose during a party.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
As described in the audiobook.
It's a very disturbing scene because it highlights, I think, the impunity that often comes with wealth and social status. Tom acts with violence and faces no real consequences.
Right.
Further emphasizing, I think, the moral decay that Fitzgerald is critiquing.
Okay.
And then there's the stark contrast of the Valley of Ashes.
The Valley of Ashes, the desolate wasteland between West Egg and New York City, is a powerful symbol, isn't it?
It is.
It's like a physical manifestation of the moral and social decay hidden beneath the surface of the Roaring Twenties.
Precisely. The Valley of Ashes represents the forgotten victims of the era.
Okay.
The people who are left behind in the pursuit of wealth and pleasure. And looming over it all are the eyes of Dr. T.J. Eckelberg on that billboard, adding another layer of symbolism.
Those eyes are so unsettling.
They are.
They seem to be watching, judging the character's actions.
Like they're always there.
Yeah.
Right.
It's almost as if Fitzgerald is suggesting a higher power is observing the moral consequences of their choices.
That's a great interpretation.
Right.
The eyes add an element of moral weight to the story, reminding us that there are consequences beyond the immediate tangible world.
Right. So we have these stark contrasts, right?
Yep.
The extravagance of Gatsby's parties versus the stark reality of the Valley of Ashes, the allure of wealth and status versus the emptiness it often brings.
Yes.
And it's against this backdrop that Gatsby's obsession with Daisy unsolves.
And it's this obsession that ultimately leads to the climax of the story.
Okay.
Gatsby's confrontation with Pom.
Right.
According to your quiz, this confrontation takes place at George Wilson's garage.
Okay.
And Gatsby finally admits his love for Daisy.
This is where things start to unravel.
Yes. Yeah. This is a huge turning point in the story,
setting
the stage for the tragedy that follows.
And it's a turning point for the symbolism of the green light as well.
Absolutely.
Right.
It no longer represents Gatsby's hope
for
a future with Daisy,
but
rather the disillusionment of the American dream. Yes.
So we've talked about setting characters and even touched on some of the key symbols.
Right.
But now I'm curious to delve deeper into this idea of the American dream.
Okay.
And how the Great Gatsby portrays it.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think the American dream is like woven into the very fabric of the Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
But instead of a straightforward rags to riches story, Fitzgerald presents a much more cynical perspective, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating how Gatsby achieves immense wealth, but it's through illegal means.
Yeah.
And it ultimately leads to his downfall.
Right.
You know, he's surrounded by this dazzling facade of success.
Yeah.
Yet he's deeply unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you question, like, the traditional idea of the American dream.
Absolutely. You highlighted a passage in the audiobook
yeah.
where Nick describes Gatsby's smile
okay.
as having this quality of eternal reassurance.
Right.
Like he's trying to convince himself and everyone else that he's truly happy.
Mm-hmm.
But Fitzgerald, I think, provides these glimpses of Gatsby's loneliness
right.
and yearning,
yeah.
suggesting that material wealth doesn't guarantee fulfillment.
That's such a poignant observation.
Yeah.
It makes me think about how
mm-hmm.
in our own lives, we often equate success with material possessions.
Right.
And social status.
Yeah.
But the great Gatsby suggests that true happiness might lie in something deeper.
Absolutely.
Something more meaningful.
I agree with you.
It's like he's trying to buy happiness.
Yeah.
But happiness isn't something you can simply purchase.
Right.
It makes me wonder if Fitzgerald is commenting on like the hollowness
mm-hmm.
of the Roaring Twenties.
Yeah.
You know, this era of excess and materialism.
Right.
Do you think that the historical context plays a role in his portrayal of the American dream?
I think it's essential
yeah.
to consider the historical context.
Yeah.
The Roaring Twenties followed the devastation of World War I,
mm-hmm.
a period of disillusionment and loss.
Okay.
So perhaps Fitzgerald is reflecting the sense of emptiness and the search for meaning that characterized that era.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It adds another layer of complexity to the story.
Absolutely.
And speaking of complexity.
Yeah.
Let's shift our focus to Tom Buchanan.
Okay.
He represents the old money elite.
It does.
But he also embodies a certain moral corruption, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Tom inherited his wealth.
Right.
And he seems to take it for granted.
Yeah.
He has affairs.
Right.
Displays his power over others.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately shows very little regard for yeah. the consequences of his actions.
He's a stark contrast to Gatsby.
Yeah.
Who, despite his flaws.
Right.
possesses a certain idealism
yeah.
and capacity for love.
I agree.
And then there's Daisy.
Yeah.
Caught between these two men.
Mm-hmm.
She's drawn to Gatsby's passion.
Right.
And the allure of their shared past.
Yeah.
But she's also hesitant to leave the security and comfort of her life with Tom.
Right.
Such a complicated dynamic.
It is. And it speaks to, I think, the broader themes of social mobility
mm-hmm.
and the allure of a bygone era.
Okay.
Daisy represents the past that Gatsby so desperately wants to recapture.
Yeah.
But she's also a product of the very society that oh, yeah. he's trying to break into.
Her character's so fascinating.
Yes.
Because she's both a victim and a perpetrator.
Right.
Of the social system that Fitzgerald is critiquing.
Exactly.
She yeah. benefits from her wealth and status.
Mm-hmm.
Yet she also seems trapped by it.
And her inability to make a decisive choice
right.
ultimately leads to the tragic events that
yeah.
unfold.
It's interesting how you mentioned the tragic events.
Yeah.
I know you marked a passage in the audiobook
mm-hmm.
where Nick describes the atmosphere in the hotel room.
Yes.
Where Gatsby and Tom have their final confrontation.
Yes.
It's almost suffocating.
Right.
Foreshadowing the tragedy that's about to occur.
The intense heat. The claustrophobic setting, it all contributes to a sense of inevitability,
right.
as if the characters are trapped mm. by their own desires.
Okay.
And the societal forces that surround them.
And in the midst of this tense atmosphere,
yes.
Daisy makes a reckless choice.
She does.
That sets the tragedy in motion, right?
According to the audiobook transcript,
yeah.
Daisy is the one driving the car
right.
when it hits Myrtle.
Wow.
But it's Gatsby who takes the blame.
Oh, wow.
Shielding Daisy from the consequences of her actions.
That's heartbreaking.
It is.
And it speaks volumes about Gatsby's love for Daisy.
Yes.
He's willing to sacrifice everything for her,
no.
even his own life.
Yeah.
But it also highlights the distorted sense of morality
and
that
this.
Pervades their world.
Precisely. Wealth and social status seem to shield people
right.
from accountability.
Yeah.
Gatsby's act of self-sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
while noble in a sense
uh-huh. right.
further exposes I think the hypocrisy
right.
and moral decay that Fitzgerald is criticizing.
Yes. Makes me think about the Valley of Ashes again.
Yeah.
The people who inhabit that space
mm-hmm.
are the true victims.
The ones who bear the brunt of the recklessness
yeah.
and moral indifference of the wealthy elite.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Fitzgerald doesn't let us forget about the social consequences of the character's actions.
Right.
The Valley of Ashes serves as a constant reminder of
yeah.
the disparity
mm-hmm.
between the haves and the have-nots.
Right.
And the moral bankruptcy.
Yeah.
That can accompany immense wealth and privilege.
It's interesting how you connected Gatsby's self-sacrifice back to the Valley of Ashes.
Yeah.
It's like those two seemingly disparate elements of the story mm-hmm. are actually deeply intertwined.
I agree.
They both speak to the broader themes of social injustice
yeah.
and the consequences of unchecked ambition.
Exactly. Fitzgerald is a master
yeah.
at weaving together these seemingly disparate elements
right.
to create a cohesive and thought-provoking narrative.
Okay.
And it's through this masterful storytelling that he invites us to question the very nature of the American dream.
So we've discussed the characters,
yeah.
the setting,
mm-hmm.
and even delved into the complexities of the American dream.
Right.
But you know what really stood out to me in your notes?
What's that?
You highlighted Fitzgerald's use of symbolism.
Oh, yes.
You mentioned the green light,
mm-hmm.
the Valley of Ashes.
Right.
And even those unsettling eyes of Dr. T.J. Eckelberg.
I love those eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we unpack those a bit more?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fitzgerald's use of symbolism, I think,
yeah.
is what elevates The Great Gatsby beyond a simple love story
yes.
or a social commentary.
Right.
It adds layers of meaning, prompting us to think about the deeper implications mm-hmm. of the narrative.
I love that.
Yeah.
So let's start with the green light.
Okay.
We've already talked about how it represents Gatsby's yearning for Daisy.
Right.
And his unattainable dream.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think there's more to it than that?
I think it's also a symbol of the American dream itself.
Okay.
The yearning for something better.
Mm-hmm.
The belief that we can achieve anything if we just strive hard enough.
Yeah.
But in Gatsby's case, that dream becomes distorted.
Okay.
Fixated on a past that can never be fully reclaimed.
You've highlighted a passage in the study guide.
Yes.
Where Nick observes that Gatsby believed in the green light, the orgastic future that year by year recedes before us.
Such a powerful image.
I know. It's such a powerful image.
Yeah.
Suggesting that the American dream might be an illusion.
Right.
Something that we chase but can never truly grasp.
That's a brilliant insight.
Oh, is it?
The green light.
Yeah.
Like the American dream is always out of reach, just
right.
beyond our grasp.
Yeah.
And it's this unattainability
mm-hmm.
that ultimately leads to Gatsby's downfall.
It's like he's reaching for something that doesn't actually exist,
mm-hmm.
a fantasy that he's constructed in his mind.
Right.
And speaking of constructed realities,
yeah.
let's talk about those extravagant parties.
Okay.
We've already discussed how they represent Gatsby's loneliness and his desire to recapture the past.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the people who attend those parties?
Right.
What do they symbolize?
I think the partygoers represent the superficiality
okay.
and moral emptiness
mm-hmm.
that Fitzgerald associates with the Roaring Twenties.
Right.
They're drawn to Gatsby's wealth
yeah.
and the spectacle of his parties.
Right.
But they have no genuine connection to him
okay.
or to each other.
You know, it's interesting how you describe them as having no genuine connection.
Yeah.
It makes me think about how social media often presents a distorted view of reality
mm-hmm.
where people curate their lives to appear happy and successful.
Right.
It's like everyone's attending Gatsby's party online.
That's a fascinating connection.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the timelessness of Fitzgerald's themes.
Right.
Even though The Great Gatsby is set in the 1920s,
mm.
its exploration of social dynamics and the pursuit of an idealized image
yeah.
resonates deeply with our contemporary experiences.
Absolutely. And I think the Valley of Ashes serves as a powerful reminder
mm-hmm.
that there are real consequences
right.
to this pursuit of illusion and superficiality.
Yeah.
It's a place where dreams turn to ashes.
Absolutely.
A stark contrast to the glittering world of West Egg.
The Valley of Ashes represents the underside of the American dream.
Okay.
The forgotten victims of unchecked ambition
yeah.
and social inequality.
Yeah.
It's a physical manifestation of the moral decay.
Yeah.
That Fitzgerald is critiquing.
And looming over it all are the eyes of Dr. T.J. Eckelberg.
Yes.
Those unsettling eyes on the billboard,
mm-hmm.
they add another layer of symbolism, don't they?
They do. Those eyes have been interpreted in various ways
wow.
as a symbol of God, of judgment,
mm-hmm.
of the loss of spiritual values in a materialistic society.
Wow.
Regardless of the specific interpretation, they create this sense of unease.
Right.
A suggestion that the character's actions are being watched
okay.
and judged by a force larger than themselves.
It's like they're being held accountable.
Right.
Even if they don't believe it themselves.
Exactly.
And it's interesting how those eyes are positioned above the Valley of Ashes.
Yeah.
Almost as if they're witnessing the consequences of the character's choices.
That's a great observation.
Yeah.
The placement of the eyes reinforces the connection between the moral decay of the elite and the suffering of those who are left behind.
Yeah.
Fitzgerald is reminding us that our actions have consequences.
Yeah.
And that we can't ignore the plight of those less fortunate.
So we have the green light symbolizing the elusive American dream.
Yes.
The Valley of Ashes representing the moral consequences of pursuing wealth and status.
Mm-hmm.
And the eyes of Dr. T.J. Eckelberg, serving as a reminder of judgment and accountability.
Yes.
It's amazing how Fitzgerald weaves these symbols throughout the story.
It is.
Right, prompting us to think about the deeper meaning behind the events that unfold.
Exactly. And it's through this symbolic language
that
Fitzgerald encourages us to engage with the novel on a more profound level.
Okay.
To move beyond the surface and grapple with the complex questions he raises about ambition, love, loss, and the American dream itself.
And as the story progresses, these symbols take on even deeper meaning.
Absolutely.
Right, as Gatsby's carefully constructed world begins to crumble, we see the consequences of his choices and the tragic reality that his dream was ultimately an illusion.
Yeah.
But before we dive into the heartbreaking conclusion of Gatsby's story, I think it's important to talk about Nick Carraway.
Yes.
Our narrator.
Our guide.
He undergoes a significant transformation throughout the novel, doesn't he?
He does. Initially, Nick is drawn to the glamour and excitement of Gatsby's world.
Okay.
He's fascinated by Gatsby, by Daisy, and by the whole spectacle of West Egg.
Mm-hmm.
But as he witnesses the events unfold, he becomes increasingly disillusioned.
It's like he's realizing that the world he's been observing is built on a foundation of lies and deception.
Exactly.
The American dream that Gatsby so fiercely believes in is revealed to be a hollow promise.
Yes.
Leading to tragedy and heartbreak.
You've hit on a crucial point.
Have I?
Nick serves as our moral compass.
Okay.
Guiding us through the moral ambiguity of the story.
Yeah.
His journey of disillusionment reflects the broader themes of the novel, prompting us to question our own values and aspirations.
So Nick's transformation mirrors the unraveling of Gatsby's dream.
Exactly. Yeah. Showing us the human cost of pursuing an idealized past.
And it's through Nick's eyes
that
we witness the devastating consequences of Gatsby's choices.
Yes.
Leading us to the heart-wrenching conclusion of the story.
Ready to delve into that final chapter.
Gatsby's death is so sudden. And senseless.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the culmination of all the recklessness and moral decay we've been discussing.
What strikes me is how Fitzgerald frames the events leading up to Gatsby's death.
Okay.
The intense heat, the claustrophobic atmosphere in the hotel room, it all builds to this sense of inevitability, as if tragedy is the only possible outcome.
And you pointed out in the audiobook transcript.
Yes.
That it's Daisy driving the car when it hits Myrtle.
That's right.
Yet Gatsby shields her.
He does.
Taking the blame.
Yeah.
What does that tell us about their world?
I think it highlights that distorted sense of morality among the wealthy elite.
Mm.
You know, Gatsby, despite his flaws, is capable of genuine love and sacrifice.
Right.
Daisy, on the other hand, chooses to protect herself and her privileged life.
Okay.
Regardless of the consequences.
It's heartbreaking to think about Gatsby waiting all night outside Daisy's house.
I know, right? Yeah. Convinced she'll leave Tom.
But she retreats back into her world of wealth and privilege.
She does.
Choosing Tom and their shared history.
That scene with Gatsby standing watch in the moonlight is so poignant.
It is.
It reveals the depth of his love for Daisy.
Right.
And the futility of his dream.
Mm-hmm.
He clung to this idealized vision of their future.
Right.
But reality, as it often does, comes crashing down.
Yeah. And it's Nick who's left to deal with the aftermath.
Right.
Arranging Gatsby's sparsely attended funeral.
Yes. Such a stark contrast to those lavish parties.
Right.
That contrast underscores the emptiness of Gatsby's life.
Oh, right.
The shallowness of the people he surrounded himself with.
Yeah.
No one truly cared for him, only for what he represented.
Right.
Like wealth, excitement.
Okay.
A fleeting connection.
Even Meyer Wolfsheim Gatsby's supposed friend and business partner refuses to attend the funeral.
He does.
He's too afraid of getting mixed up in the mess.
Right.
What a telling detail.
Wolfsheim's absence reveals, I think, the transactional nature.
Okay, of Gatsby's relationships. The lack of genuine connection in his life.
Yeah.
It's a tragic realization that underscores the isolation Gatsby felt.
Right.
Despite his wealth and social standing.
And then there's that final image.
Yes.
The obscene word scrawled on the steps of Gatsby's mansion.
Oh, it's awful.
It's like the ultimate desecration of his dream.
That image is a final brutal reminder.
Okay.
Of the fragility of Gatsby's world.
Yeah.
The fleeting nature of his success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his world was built on illusion.
Right.
And once that illusion is shattered,
yeah,
there's nothing left but emptiness.
This brings us back to the idea of the American dream.
Right.
It seems Fitzgerald is suggesting that the pursuit of wealth and status.
Yeah.
Especially when divorced from genuine human connection and moral values.
Right.
Can lead to disillusionment and even destruction.
Precisely, Gatsby's relentless pursuit of an idealized past blinded him to the present.
Okay.
His obsession with Daisy prevented him from finding true happiness.
Right. And his tragic end serves as a cautionary tale.
So where does this leave us?
Yeah.
What can we learn from Gatsby's story?
I think The Great Gatsby challenges us to examine our own values and aspirations.
Oh, yeah.
Are we chasing after illusions?
Mm.
Are we defining success in a way that aligns with our true desires?
It encourages us to consider the consequences of our choices.
Yes.
And the importance of forging genuine connections.
Absolutely.
And to remember that the pursuit of happiness should not come at the expense of our integrity or the well-being of others.
I agree with you.
The Great Gatsby is a story that stays with you long after you finish reading it.
It does.
It prompts reflection, discussion, and perhaps even a reevaluation of our own dreams.
Fitzgerald's masterpiece offers, I think, a timeless exploration of the human condition, inviting us to delve deeper into the complexities of the American experience.
We've covered a lot of ground in our deep dive today.
Yeah.
From the symbolism of the green light to the moral decay of the Roaring Twenties, we've analyzed the characters, explored the themes, and grappled with the enduring power of Fitzgerald's prose.
Absolutely.
But most importantly, we've engaged in a thoughtful conversation.
I agree.
About what The Great Gatsby means to us today and the lessons we can take away from its tragic yet compelling narrative.
Remember, the journey doesn't end here.
Right.
As you revisit the source material, keep exploring, keep questioning, keep discovering.
Or perhaps, like Nick Carraway, you'll emerge from this deep dive with a renewed perspective on the world.
Absolutely.
And a deeper understanding of yourself.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into The Great Gatsby.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure exploring this timeless masterpiece with you.
Until next time, keep those green lights burning.